We've seen how the question of these two jobs has made it difficult for the women workers to participate in political life, how it's tended to keep them isolated from political life and from political struggle. Recently, we've seen a lot of struggles that have been spearheaded by working women. And not only working women, but minority working women. In particular, a Farah strike down in El Paso. Out in Los Angeles, there's a strike going on right now at a place called Mailing House, which is a similar kind of situation. Again, we feel that the general struggle to get women into production, to oppose all kind of laws and restrictions against them getting into the main areas of production, that this is an important task at this particular time. And we've seen that even though a lot of these so-called equal rights laws are going to deprive, in some cases anyway, working women of certain protective legislation that's been passed and fought for over the years, we still feel that to the degree that working women can get into, especially the strategic and key areas of big production, big industry, that this is where the fight for democratic rights is going to really take on a powerful meaning, where the women are going to be able to fight as a concentrated force. Now, in terms of trying to alleviate some of these tasks, the October League has tried to initiate programs in terms of child care at all meetings and functions and things like that, and in order to free the women, free the working women especially, to take part in these political activities internally. In terms of the masses of women, we've seen recent attempts to cut back all government-paid-for child care efforts. We think right now that this is the main question that has to be addressed itself to on behalf of the working women. This is a question I know all throughout the country that has brought together large numbers of working women, and Black and Chicana and Puerto Rican women, especially, who've been the hardest hit by these cutbacks. So, the question alone doesn't get resolved through women getting into production. Special care has got to be taken internally in the organization. And also the fight for child care on the part of the government has got to be waged. And that's got to be, we think, the main direction that the struggle for women's rights has got to take right now.
I just want to add something briefly to what Mike said. One of the questions is, we talked about building proletarian leadership in the Black nation and also among other oppressed minorities in this country. You have to just keep in mind, in terms of the overwhelming number of women that work in basic industry in this country, they are third world women. The large plants across this country that have large numbers of Black, Puerto Rican, and Chicano women. And as he said, it's not just the point of getting people into the plant, but that is a key thing in terms of developing those national forums and of really organizing among third world women in the plant, because they do comprise more than 50% in basic production of women workers.
The gentleman on the side with the button on his shirt. That side's next.
Okay. First, let me identify myself. I'm a spokesman for the National Caucus of Labor Committees. Okay, we have that out of the way. And now I hope to be able to continue my statement without any further interruption. I'll ask my question first so everybody will know that I'm going to ask a question, and maybe I'll avoid a second interruption. And my question is, which I'll explain the motivation behind. We've heard people on the platform spoke about forming united fronts. the question that I will address to them is to see how this works. Does this work? Is this real? I'm going to offer them a real united front. I'm going to offer them the opportunity to put their money where their mouth is. And I say to you this.
Okay.
I say to you this. The major...
We have another questioner, please.
Song?
It's obvious that a lot of people are trying to come up here and ask questions that obviously just try to split up the purpose of the forum. Now, I'm relating that to two things. Well, let me just make it very brief and to the point. I don't think, right, twice already questions have been asked about, like the woman's role, woman's relationship to the struggle. I think we should stop checking that out and start seeing that it's not isolated from the proletarian struggle. That is united with that. And through that struggle, that process in terms of like how we're going to deal with that question, it's been going on, and it will continue to move on. It's not going to be isolated from it. We should relate to questions in terms of like, right now it is very important, very key to our struggle to understand what is the level of struggle among the masses, what's going down in terms of the masses. You know, and relate that to what's going on here. We're talking about building a multinational party. Okay, so why don't we talk about, like, what's going on in the general sense in the United States, all over the world, in terms of, like, things that are at a higher level, in terms of mass struggles, and understand how we can move from here to get involved with them and build that party.
The person in the far corner over there, the woman with the red shirt on. Yes. Nobody seemed to. It wasn't a question, and nobody seemed to want to respond. Although your comment was appreciated.
It wasn't a question. Yeah. Addressed to all panelists, what I noticed was lacking as a theme throughout the talks was any mention of the questions that divide us. In terms of our approach to building a communist party in this country, in terms of our approach to making revolution, I'm sure that there are many people in the audience. I certainly could cite examples of efforts on the part of coalition groups in industry, in community, in education, wherever people are working and attempting to organize, where differences of opinion have eventually bogged down the work. What I would like to know, seems I talk to them, I don't talk to you. For instance, in terms of an approach to overcoming the problems, in terms of an approach to building a mass base in this country, would the speakers on the stage, and I would tend to doubt it, have a unified view of exactly how to approach the problem of Canarsie? One might agree that the key thing there is racism. The disagreements might arise in how best to overcome that, how best to neutralize, to win the advanced forces in Canarsie, to neutralize the less advanced and more reactionary tendencies there. And I only cite that as one example. That's the question that arises in education. It's a hot issue in this country. It's polarizing the people. Is there a unified opinion as to how to approach it? Kawita presents another example. The issue there is housing, and it's a hot one in this country. It tends to polarize the American people. What unified position can we take towards that?
Clearly, it is not our purpose here to try to confront every political question that is involved in the struggles of the various organizations. On our platform here tonight, we have representatives of three national organizations, and the particular individuals involved themselves don't come from the New York area. And I think, I'm sure that none of them would wish to venture a suggestion of the correct tactical or strategic approach to take in a particular struggle without the most concrete investigation of the particular circumstances of that struggle, some estimation of the forces involved, and so on. I think this is in the essence of what we're talking about when we talk of the need to build a serious Communist Party. We are tired of glib answers to very complex questions. We know that we need movements and organizations that are based in the struggles in various communities and in shops that will make their own analysis, that will be equipped with the science of Marxism-Leninism to know how to apply certain general fundamental principles to the concrete tasks that confront us. And I think that we should not expect tonight, under these circumstances, that we're going to be able to deal with a number of those specific questions. That doesn't mean that we think they're unimportant. Clearly, we think they're of the utmost importance. But I would suggest to the people in the audience who are asking questions to keep in mind the general framework that we've tried to establish here.
This gentleman over here.
I would like to address my question to specifically to the RU and to the October League. And I can understand why there are two organizations of national form, but I don't understand why there are two organizations of multinational form, and I would like them to address themselves to that question.
Before this question is answered, let me just say once again, the next Guardian Forum will be held on April 27th, and the very question is the question of the Black Nation in the United States. I think that most of the questions will be clarified in greater depth there, but the two speakers will now answer the questions to some extent.
From the very beginning of the October League's existence, we have held up and defended the principle that the communist organization has got to be based on the politics, on the line, on a working class ideology, not based on nationality or race. And we feel that that practice has bared that out. However, we also think that the main question can't be some abstract mechanical principle. We've seen a lot of organizations that are multinational in their political line, but they're white in essence, in the makeup of the organization. The question is, who's going to go in among the key sections of the working class, and here I'm speaking especially, for example, of the Afro-American workers, and bring Marxism-Leninism, and win the Afro-American workers to revolution? That's the main question. And on this question, our feeling is we'd rather see an organization like the Black Workers Congress, for example, that organizes the Afro-American workers, that brings Marxism-Leninism, Mao Zedong thought to the Afro-American workers, that takes a leading role in the struggles of the Afro-American workers, than a multinational organization like the Communist Party USA, which betrays those struggles. The question for us is, what is the principle of the question? The principle of the question is that to lead a united working class has got to be a multinational party. I don't think I know none of the organizations here today would argue with that. Now, there's different approaches. And I'll tell you what we don't like is people who are very firm in their opposition to nationally based caucuses and organizations, and yet aren't out winning the Afro-American people to the struggle. That's what we object to. So our practice has confirmed that this is right, that black and white communists certainly can work together in a communist organization, certainly have to, that it's advanced our understanding of the question. It's pushed forward our understanding of the national question, of the class struggle as a whole, and therefore, so far as we've seen, this is correct, this is justified, and we think practice will show in the final analysis that this has got to be true on the question of a communist party.
Well, the question is, why are there two multinational? In their organizations? Well, we don't know. There are two out there. Revolutionary Union been around for a little while. Maybe it's the nature of the revolution in this country. Maybe it means that there has to be a certain amount of blooming and contending. That certain forces have to develop. And as I tried to emphasize in my presentation, in the final analysis, it really does come down to moving the masses of workers and the broad masses of people in this country. We believe that in the process of developing and consolidating the proletarian line, that the organizations in this country will have closer working relationships and unity, and in practice, develop that line towards a future party. Back to the question, we don't know why there are two right now.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the way the question was first asked. One of the reasons why there's different groups, not just two, but in fact dozens of communist organizations that are many of which are multinational, is because this is the way there's uneven development in everything. This is a law of dialectics. Communist movement develops unevenly. I know if people were active a few years ago, they saw that a lot of these groups sprung up in certain geographical areas. The October League did, the RU did, Black Workers Congress came out of a development in a certain geographical area too. This is only natural. This is the same way that every party, I believe, developed. The question of overcoming the spontaneous character of the development and
organizing that and uniting that is a long, hard process. Because it's a process of testing the line under conditions of mass struggle, like was pointed out before. But it's also a condition of developing the theoretical level to a point where you're not just uniting. It's not the same uniting a communist organization as a mass organization. Because of different shadings and different emphasis on certain questions take on very significant importance. They affect the lives and the victory or failures of the struggles of the masses. It seems to me that the road to building a communist unity has begun seriously. I think more than in any other country I've seen, where the communist movement is often fragmented and unable, and the attitude towards it is a bad one. In other words, where differences mean divisions get wider and struggle can't be carried out right. I think one of our strengths is that, like I said earlier, there's a growing maturity, a growing understanding of the need for unity. But this unity has got to be worked at. It's a very difficult thing if it's going to last. Because the communists hate splits. They hate splits and they're opposed to splits. And therefore, the best thing to do, we feel, is to build a firm foundation, develop understanding, through common practice, which we're engaged in with all these comrades, and hard study, raising the level of theoretical understanding, we feel confident that unity can be built. We oppose any tendency which fights unity, which tries to keep the communist movement primitive and backwards and organized on little narrow groupings, local circles. We've seen small groups that they were opposed to unity. They wanted to keep their individual identity. They were opposed to discipline, to democratic centralism. And in fact, they were opposed to revolution. They didn't want to struggle. They wanted to have a little circle to contain themselves with, a social circle, a debating circle. But I think the strength that the different groups are developing in size and experience and in theoretical level, it's helping us to unite. When you're strong, you're not afraid to unite. You see? You're not afraid to unite if you're strong. The stronger you are, the deeper your ties are to the masses, the more people you're able to unite with. And we're not just talking about communist unity here. There's different kinds of levels of unity. Communist unity is a very high level of unity. There's also a single issue unity. Unity in the fight against imperialism and fascism. Unity around certain democratic struggles. And we think once we master this technique of being able to unite all that can be united on the various levels, that we'll indeed become a genuine Marxist-Leninist organization. Until then, the most difficult fight we're going to have is against this petty bourgeois mentality that comes from the life of the small producer, of the people who are separated and isolated from production, of maintaining their individualism. And that applies organizationally as well as individually. We hope to see the day when the October League doesn't exist anymore. We'd be very anxious to do away with the October League. And this is something that we've put a lot of our energies and efforts and spirits into building, but it's only been built for a certain purpose. Its only purpose is to function as a transitional form of organization until the Communist Party gets built. So we really look forward to the day when there's just one communist organization, when one leadership can speak for one organization, and that organization can speak and represent large numbers of working people and other progressive people.
I'd just like to add one word myself, if I can, before I call on the next speaker. And that is that although four separate organizations, all claiming to be Marxist-Leninist, all seeing having a number of points of unity, although we have four separate organizations and many other comrades organizations out of the audience here tonight, you can see that representatives of the four organizations are speaking here before you tonight on the same stage. So, although we have four different organizations, what is the trend? The trend is to set their ideas before the masses, talking with each other, talking to you, and certainly a higher level of unity and more unity is the trend in the revolutionary movement today. I think I'd like to call on one more speaker, one more questioner. Before the speakers make some concluding remarks. This gentleman here with the microphone in his hand. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The gentleman in the back? Oh, yes. No.
On the question that the brother asked about multinational and national, I just want to make a point about white organizations in the United States, and that I believe is very important that any white organization in the United States to deal with white chauvinism must deal on a multinational level, because in the past, white organizations in the United States have not dealt with this racism as a white organization. And we can see in the past practice that the CP and other organizations that they have failed. And a national struggle is important, that third world organizations develop on a national struggle. And that's the point I want to make.
The gentleman here with a paper in his hand, with his hand raised. It's going to have to be a question.
Sure.
A brief question.
Sure. Which mic is live? The representing the Committee to Rebuild the National Welfare Rights Organization and the National Caucus of Labor Committees. I'd like to hear the responses of the people on the panel to an urgent appeal, and to urgent appeal to everybody in this room to join the efforts of the committee to I'd like a response to the committee to rebuild the National Welfare Rights Organization. We are trying to unite the employed and the unemployed workers on the basis of their common interests. Because okay, can you turn the microphone on?
Yeah. No, not this woman. The other woman. It's all right.
I have a question not only for the people up on stage, but also for the audience. It's like from this what do you call this thing we have? Forum. How are we going to build this? Because a lot of people talking about these committees here and a conference here and a conference there, and not something I learned. Is that you don't get nothing without practice. And how are we going to build that practice? Because we talking, a lot of us talking an abstract about what revolution's about. And I'm not directing that especially to the people on the stage, but to the people who keep insisting to take time on this conference thing, on these little committees. Because a lot of people have been talking and meeting and haven't been doing. And I believe very strongly with the principles of Marxism, Leninism, Mao Zedong thought, and that's based on practice with the working class. Sisters came up about how we deal with the sisters' question. We deal with that through the practice with the working class, because that's where we learn. And we ain't talking about that. And I want to ask the forum, how are we going to get it together now that there's like different organizations represented here, there's different members of different organizations, and people of no organizations here? How are we going to build that practice? Where are we going to move to from this forum to build on the question of the nation, people as a black nation, Chicanos as a black nation, and all the other big political issues? You know, like, what are we going to do with Nixon, Rockefeller, and all these people that are getting fascist on us? What are we going to do? What kind of practice are we going to build?
I think the remarks were appreciated, but it wasn't a question that it, or it was a question, but none of the people don't want to respond to that.
Because of the time, I'll just try to get right into my question without the preparatory remarks. I think all of us here are interested in building a Marxist-Leninist party and see this conference as a historic step forward in doing this. And in order to do this, we have to get a correct and thoroughgoing analysis of exactly what type of strategy we're going to be pursuing. So specifically, some of the speakers have talked about the need for a party based in the industrial proletariat. And I'd like to ask them specifically about people in this country who are on welfare, people in this country who are chronically unemployed in sub-proletarian positions, and what their perspective is, what their analysis is on the organizing going on among these people. I'd like to direct this part of the question specifically to the representatives from the Revolutionary Union and from the Black Workers' Congress. The second part of my question is on specifically women's rights as regard to the attempts by the government to force welfare mothers to work. And I'd like to direct this question specifically to the representative from October League and to the speaker from The Guardian. In other words, how do you feel your stated position on women entering the working class reflects on these women who are currently on welfare? And the third part of my question is on the role of electoral politics, specifically as it applies currently to the Black Panther Party. I'm sorry if it's so involved.
We talked about the tax on the working class. The question to ask about unemployment, if that's not an attack on the working class, I don't know what is. We believe that in building United Front and building mass struggle, that unemployed work is connected with the problems of employed workers, runaway shops, speed up, etc. Employed workers can quickly become unemployed workers. So we feel that we have to link these struggles together. And this is how we've tried to build it in various parts of the country, ourselves and other organizations. The question of welfare is really the same thing. What we're talking about when we're talking about the industrial working class is because it is the most class conscious. It is the most socialized. And we root everything in the basis of the working class, but does not mean that there aren't allies in the working class or that unemployed workers' struggle is not the same as the struggle of the working class. So we have to make it brief because we only got a few minutes left.
We think, of course, that we can better address the problem we can better address the problem of all the oppressed people in this country, all this. All the threat of the working class by building the party as we have stated here tonight, and by concentrating our main efforts at building strength among the working class, and at least among the industrial proletariat. It does not mean that we are turning our backs on people on welfare or any other. Certainly, we understand also that the struggle of the unemployed is also the same struggle as that of the employed. But we do emphasize and stress the importance and the necessity of basing ourselves and concentrating our main efforts on work, on organizing in the workplace.
I don't think anyone considers that the attempt by the government to coerce welfare mothers into peonage jobs constitutes what we mean by integration of women into the workforce. That's a form of peonage and slavery. And so I don't think those two questions can be confused. We understand what the government and the system is about in terms of trying to use welfare mothers as a reserve army of labor in an attempt to depress wages as a tool against the working class. The communist movement at this point in history is a defender of the working class family. It fights for the rights of women to integrate themselves into the working force, but not on the basis of being forced to do so on the threat of giving up their welfare rights.
We have just a very little time. One thing is that's very important here that's been brought up is where does the communist organization root itself? Because we're an organization that is not just a fighter for reforms, but is a revolutionary party. This is what we're talking about, one that's going to lead insurrection. One that's got to develop a strategic approach. We got to build our organization in conformity with that. To us, that means developing, for example, open and secret work. Developing an organization at the point of production. Because if you're talking in strategic terms, that this is where the foundations of an organization got to be. Based on factory nucleus. Our strategic view of the anti-imperialist United Front comes from the fact that in this period, the imperialism and its policies have created the basis for uniting broad masses of people beyond the proletariat, non-proletarian elements, from various middle classes, non-working people, intellectuals, what have you. However, every united front has got to have a core of its most consistent, revolutionary, firm elements. Without this, united front won't mean anything. That means the priority at this time has got to be to build up that core. The way we view that core is an alliance between the working class and the Afro-American people and the other nationally oppressed people in the country, various national movements. That this alliance represents an alliance of the most consistently revolutionary element who cannot emancipate themselves without completely smashing imperialist rule. In the process of building up and firming up that alliance, we find it is possible and necessary to unite broad strata of people, non-proletarian people, as well as proletarian elements who have been unemployed or are forced onto welfare. These have to be united by paying particular attention to their situation, by formulating demands and a program that can help resolve both their immediate needs and that can also point to them the need for defeating U.S. imperialism. So this is really is the basis of the United Front. The organization's got to reflect itself that way. It's got to be built and based on in that way. That's why we base it in the factory. But it's also got to do work among the various other strata.
We hired this hall till 11 o'clock, and it's almost a few minutes too. What we've done is several of the speakers elected not to give their concluding remarks so that we could have extra questions. However, one speaker did say that he would like to make a concluding remark, and so we'll hear Irwin Silver.
I'm only taking the liberty of the microphone at this point as a representative of The Guardian, which sponsored this forum, because I think it's quite appropriate that none of us on this platform feel that we can add considerably in any significant way to what's been said. I don't know what people expected coming here tonight. I think it's been a very useful and productive discussion. If people came feeling, well, we're going to advance the movement toward building a new Communist Party 4, 5, 6 steps tonight, then maybe they'd be disappointed. But I don't think that was the objective. I think we made clear that we are very serious about the task that we have outlined here tonight, and that in the way in which we've conducted this discussion, we have demonstrated that seriousness, that we are not interested merely in providing platforms for those who are ready to move prematurely, that we are concerned with moving in a measured, steadfast way on the basis of the clearest fraternal relationship between those forces in the country who are rooting themselves in mass struggle in the working class and among the oppressed nationalities. So on behalf of The Guardian, I would like to thank the various speakers from the different organizations who came here tonight, who gave us the benefit of their organization's thinking and experience, and also to thank the audience for your responsiveness, your participation, and for the fact that we all know this was one step in a long process and that we will be meeting together again on many occasions to work out all of the outstanding questions among us.